this morning, as I was waiting before the Lord, I just felt to continue to work on our foundations. Foundations are the most critical thing to each of us, our foundation in Christ. And so to kind of give a little bit of a backdrop as to our foundation, we are presented with the gospel today of this foundation of faith in Christ. That's what the church is presenting in a large part today, and how little we comprehend the enormity of his provision in our foundations. So let's turn to Revelation 21, chapter 21, verse 19. We're going to see that the foundations of the city of God, of whom you have been called to, is a little more extensive than we appreciate. And so I'm just going to read Revelation 21, verses 19 through 21. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, and the 12th an amethyst. So just in our beginning to touch the complexity of the foundation God is seeking to lay in you. The foundations of the wall are the foundations of your life. And we'll notice that there was 12 apostles and 12 foundation stones. And as we have mentioned before, each one of the apostolic ministries had a very particular expression. And we can't take one over another, but all of them together have a specific and particular thing to impart to you, to the end you may have the very foundations of the city in your own life. And it's critical in our growth and our development that we grow in the discovery of our foundation, the power of them, to the point that we begin to know who we are in God. And we begin to function in our own ministrations. And so, Paul says in Corinthians, he said his ministry was to lay a foundation that you may build on. So there are ministries within the 12 apostolic ministries. There's ministries that minister in such a way for your foundations to be laid, for you to become established in the work of God, to the end you may build thereon in the power and the glory of all that God is. And so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. So Paul is saying here, well, let's read the, where do we go here? Let's just, what Paul is addressing here in 1 Corinthians 3 is the carnality of the church at Corinth. What was their carnality? One says I'm of Paul, one says I'm of Cephas, one says I'm of Apollos. And Paul says, are you not carnal? And then he begins to minister to him. He says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for you're not able to bear anything yet of the full meat of the word. For you are yet carnal, for there is among you envying, strife, and divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as men? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you have believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Paul says, Apollos waters, but God gives the increase. So neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are of one spirit. They have one end in mind, and that is your growth and your development. So Paul says, we are laborers together with God. But you are the purpose of the building and the plantings of God. According to the grace of God, which is given me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. So there's ministries that will come and minister in such a way that you get founded in the person and the glory of Jesus Christ. It is a foundation that is not in word only, but there is a spiritual dispensation in the words of God to establish you, that you may what? What does Paul say here? I have laid the foundation, but another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how you build. So, you know, everybody wants everybody to do everything for them. But the true foundation of God is when you begin to realize that through the ministration of the word, there is a development within you. There is a foundation laid that begins to cause you to be so founded in God that you begin to be a ministration of life unto others, to the effect that others will find Christ for themselves. You might be one that plants, you might be one that waters. But let not him who plants be envious of him who waters. And so what does it say? He that planteth and he that watereth are what? Of one spirit. And so, you know, some poor guy might be out there laboring in the midst amongst the unsaved, and some evangelist comes in and holds a meeting and a whole bunch of people get saved. And the guy who's doing all the sowing might get a little discouraged that someone else comes in and reaps this big harvest and leaves town again, and here we are. But God wants to blend your hearts to see that those who are true expressions of Christ and the difference of their expressions are for your benefit. So we read in Revelation there's 12 precious stones that go into this foundation. And there's a multitude of the ministrations of God to establish you, that you may build rightly and become ministrations yourselves to others. And so all ministry is to the end that all of us become ministrations of the grace and the glory of God. And so let's go to Psalm 119, verse 38. So Psalm 19, verse 38, listen to what David is saying here. Establish thy word unto thy servant. So how does that happen? How does God establish his word unto you? Boy, that's a big question. How does God establish his word unto you? His word is a lamp unto your feet. And as you walk in his word, you begin to see God fulfilling his word unto you. Men and women who never walk out the word of God, they hear but they don't do. They're never established. They go through life always wondering where God is, who God is. And they never come to the place like Elijah, who we are going to refer to a lot of times, as the Lord my God liveth before whom I stand. He knows his God. He obeyed his God in his own personal and private life. David came out of the place of tending his father's sheep. He came out with a spiritual history. His walking with God was not ethereal. It wasn't a whole bunch of teachings. He comes down into the place where his brothers are in warfare with the Philistines, and here's this Goliath, and David says, that guy's going down. And Saul looks at him and says, get real, you're just a young guy. David says, no, no, I got a spiritual history. The Lord my God who delivered me from the lion and the bear will deliver me from this one. And God wants to establish you in his word. If you go through life without ever taking God's word into yourself, making it a part of your own experience, you will never be established in his word. It'll always be something that's theoretical in your life. But God has all kinds of parables in the New Testament. He's got the parable of the two men who built their houses. One man built his house with hearing, and the other man built his house by hearing and doing. Well, the guy who built his house with hearing only thought he was doing pretty good. He had his doctrines down. He had all his doctrinal ducks in a row, and he could get up and teach and lay out all kinds of nice words. But when the flood comes, his house can't stand. And there's a flood coming. But Jesus said the man who heard and obeyed the word was like a man who built his house upon a foundation. And when the flood came, his house stood. So we don't want to live in the realm of hearing only. We want to be a people that are ever walking out the things of the Lord in our hearts, that we might be a people with a sure foundation. So if we go to James chapter 1, 22 through 25, just to reinforce the substance of the things of what we speak. So James declares here, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. What happens to those who hear and don't do? They deceive themselves. You see, the man who built the house by hearing only, his deception was that he thought his house looked pretty good. He was pretty confident, you know. He's got his siding on. It looks just as good as the guy's house next door. He's got all the right words. He's got all the right confessions. And they look the same until the flood comes. And so we read, and this is the reality of the day we live in is in the day of harvest, God says to his angels, go and gather the tares and put them into bundles and burn them. Tares and wheat grow together, and one is indistinguishable from the other. I've got friends that are farmers, and they said you cannot tell the difference between the real wheat and the tares until the day of harvest. And it's in that place of bearing fruit that the wheat is full of the fruit and the character and the life of Jesus Christ. And so that's why James here says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, in a mirror. And he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. Notice that. And straightway he forgets who he is. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. And so, what does James say later on? Faith without works. Notice what it says here. Be ye doer of the word. And then he goes on to say, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. If you're walking in the word, that faith will produce in you the works of faith that glorify God, and they establish you. There is an establishment, and as you bear fruit unto God, there comes a confidence in his word. So Psalm 119:38, establish thy word unto thy servant. Well, how is that? I pray for you and hope you're praying for me that God would continue to establish us in his word through the medium of doing, through the medium of all that word says unto you. And don't get discouraged, because the enormity of the word is pretty immense. But he always breaks the word off. You notice when Jesus sat down and fed the 5,000, he didn't give them the whole loaf. He comes to you. As you spend time with him, he'll break the bread that he's broken off for you. So someone that has the call to evangelism or teaching or whatever, God just breaks that bread off, and that's your portion. And that is where a lot of people get into condemnation. They get under a burden that isn't God's. With every breaking of the word of God to you, and as you walk in the portion he gives you, you will discover your calling. You will discover his purposes for you. And in the walking out of those purposes, God says, I will establish you in my way. And so, even with husband and wife, God breaks different pieces of his word to us, that together we grow up in a thing called harmony. But what one expression is, the other may be a balance to, not always appreciated. I know from my own experience. But God is joining us in the ministrations of his life, and his purposes are, as you walk with him, he establishes you in the present truth of his purposes for you. So we read in the parable of the talents, God gives one talent to one person, two talents to another, and five talents to another. And some people go, well, that's not fair. Actually, it's really fair because it says God gives to every person according to their ability. If I only have a two talent capability, I thank God he isn't laying five on me. And so we don't look at others with envy. We look at God and he gives to you according to your ability. And as you're faithful to the portion he gives you, you'll end up with four, you'll end up with 10, you'll end up with two, whatever your portion is, be faithful to it. Because as you are faithful to whatever God gives you, it will always end up in him giving you more. Always. But if we don't walk in what we have, God says, what would be the point of me giving you more? And that is where faithfulness determines our confidence, our eternal resting places in God. So if you read the parable of the talent or the pounds, King James says pounds, everybody else's Bible will say minus. The problem is nobody knows what a mina is, but they translate it that way anyway. But anyway, God gives you a portion. And in the giving of the pounds or the minas, the man who received one, at the end of his journey, he brought unto the Lord five. What does God say? Because you have been faithful in little, rule thou over 10 cities. Well, five, sorry, 10. So the one guy from the pounds, he brought back 10 pounds. And what does God say? Enter into my joy, and you will be a ruler over 10 cities. So the proportion of your faithfulness determines eternal places in God. As we went through the book of Revelation, we saw these elders. Where were they? They were in the very throne room of God. And God is inviting you into a place of rulership. What does it say? We will rule and reign with him if we're faithful. And some people, especially in my earlier days and my younger days, I couldn't comprehend ruling with Christ. And, you know, there's a aspect of faith that has to begin to comprehend the majesty of God's call in your life. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor is it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. And so that all comes as you develop, you begin to comprehend the vastness of the grace of God and that he is calling you into places of ruling and reigning with him. So let's go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. We got to begin to disregard ourselves. Well, who am I? I'm just this little schmuck in the middle of Cranbrook, in the middle of nowhere. That isn't faith. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. Go ye therefore. Why do we go? Why do we stand? Why do we declare the things that God is putting within our hearts? It's not because of who you are. It's because all power has been given unto him. And as we live in him, we partake of that power. As we're faithful in the little things, God begins to bring us into the greater. And just begin to walk out your place in him, and you will discover a new confidence. You will discover unfoldings of the purposes of God. So Revelation 3:21, And guess what church this is to? The church in which we live. This is unto the church of the Laodiceans. The promise is, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. To him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. That's your call. What is the gospel of this church at Laodicea? Oh, I'm rich and increased with goods. What does the gospel say? I am already the righteousness of God. I don't have to overcome anything. I already got, I'm his righteousness. I'm sanctified. I'm good. But what is Jesus saying? To him that overcomes this lethargic attitude. They say, I'm rich and increased with goods. And God says, know ye not that you're poor, wretched, blind, miserable, and naked? But he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. You see that gold that goes through the fire? It's confident. There's no issues with the gold that's been gone through the fires. The fires that come your way are to purify your gold and to bring you into the very confidence of God himself. And let God work in you. Let him bring you through the fires. And there's no quicker way to get into the fire than by obedience. Obedience, they who are obedient have been persecuted in every generation. They who walk with God always run afoul of the professing church. The professing ones. They don't have the confidence. They don't have that assurance of faith. There isn't any, you know, when you don't know who you are, you're jealous of everybody else. Someone else starts preaching and people or things are happening. You're like, oh, well, yeah, but what are you going to do with that? But if you're walking with God and you're partaking of that one Spirit, you can rejoice with your brother who's being mightily used of God, because you know you're part of the same Spirit. You know that the plantings you're doing may be the reapings of another, but you are confident in your God. Why? Because your foundation is solid. There's no doubt. The quickest way to get rid of doubt is walk with God. And every step you take becomes a further ministration of his confidence in you. People who don't do, whatever confidence they think they have is presumption. There's a lot of people that presume that they know God. They've got their house built. They've got it all fancy and it looks nice. And you're still maybe working in the basement on yours. Don't get shook. You walk with your God. You let your life step into his and begin to walk and begin to feel the confidence and the power of God in you. What does it say about the day we're coming to? Everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. That day is on us. There's many Christians in other parts of the world who their very core, the whole world around them is being shaken. They're meeting in caves. They're whispering. And meeting in North Korea, they meet in caves. And they don't even dare to know anybody outside their little circle for fear that they will not be faithful under the interrogators to find out who else they're meeting with. But they're meeting, they're growing, and they're becoming strengthened in God. And God is going to shake you and I to the very core of our beings. And that's okay. Because he knows them that are his. And he is the sustainer of your life. The gold you have that goes through the fire ain't fearful of the fire. Presumption's terrified of the fire. And God is seeking to bring you into the dominion of the peace of God. See, foundation and peace, they're one. And so, I mean, someday, Lord willing, let's go back to Revelation 21:19 again. You'll notice that John lays out the 12 precious stones of the foundation of the walls. Every one of those stones speaks of an aspect of the glory and the graces of God in you. What is the first foundation? The jasper. Where did we read about the jasper? John said, when he saw the throne of God, he saw one that sat upon the throne who was likened unto what? Jasper. The very first foundation that's going to really settle you in the faith and the power of God. We're not going to go through the 12. It's, you know, we'll be here for a while. And I don't know. We've just skimmed the surface. But the first foundation in your life is the character of God himself. That jasper stone speaks of the immovable character of God and the immovability of his promises to you, that you can trust his promises because you've come to know the one who made the promise. So many of God's people try to take the promises of God without knowing the character of God. And you're always trying to convince yourself of something. But as you come to know your God, you spend time with him, just spending time with him in prayer and resting with him. And as you begin to walk and step out of the boat of your own understanding into the storms that God brings, think about Peter. He stepped out of the boat. Why? Because Jesus was out there. And there was a faith that rose and said, I can trust my God. And as you begin to feel the movings of God in your heart, he's going to call you out of all kinds of boats. Boats where you're really comfortable. And he's going to call you into the turbulent waters. And you're going to find his character sustains you. His grace enables you to walk beyond your own capability. Allow God to establish you through the medium of walking in his word, trusting his character and his promises. And God will make you one to stand in the days ahead. In the book of Isaiah, God says concerning the last days, God is prophesying to the last days. And he says, my people will be a covert for others. My people will be a hiding place. My people will be a source of strength and stability to others. You can't give to others what you don't have yourself. And that's why God has invited you into the school of his spirit to strengthen you. And the beauty of all the whole thing that got me going here on this was 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. These are important truths, and just as you open yourself up to the Word of God, he'll, as it were, highlight things to you. It's a spiritual highlight that just comes to you and you go, wow, that's good. That's something I can build my life on. So here Paul is writing to the Thessalonians and recognize that in all these different books that were written in the New Testament, especially the ones with Paul, whereas James, John, Jude, Peter, they're writing to the whole church, Paul is a more specific apostolic ministry. He's writing to the church in different locations to address and to strengthen and encourage them in the places they need that particular need, because he's laying foundations while the others are calling God's people to build on those foundations. So the last couple of verses of chapter 3 in 1 Thessalonians really allow these words to enter your heart. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you, to the end God may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Wow. Love is one of the most stabilizing, it is the most stabilizing grace in God. And as you grow in the love of God, you're growing in his stability, because love is the character and the foundation of his relationship with you. All of his workings, all of his doings in you is why? Because he loves you. Whom the Lord loveth, he chastens. Whom the Lord loves, he blesses. Whom the Lord loves, he fashions and strengthens and encourages you that you might walk and establish others. So the Greek word used here, that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness, the Greek word there is the same Greek word Jesus spoke to Peter when he said, when you're converted, strengthen your brothers. So as you grow in your establishment, as you allow him to convert you from yourself, God allows you to strengthen others through the same love that has established you. Even in the biggest mistakes you made, you keep discovering this unfathomable love of God that you keep going, why does he stay with me? Because he's your foundation. And other people, as you grow in God, he develops, and I'm a big work in progress in this, but he develops patience in you for others. Because of the love wherewith he has loved you is now being formed in you to love others to the end that they may be established. So Peter, when you are converted, the depth of your conversion is revealed in the divine enablement through you to strengthen others. People who never grow into functioning aren't growing in God. They've never been truly, fully converted. Because this establishment that Paul is talking here to the Thessalonians, their establishment is what? Because they love one another. In knowing him who is love, we are enabled to love others with the same love wherewith he has loved us. So the first and second Thessalonians, what was the great need that Paul was addressing there? Was the return, the day of God's return. And he's saying there's going to be the man of sin's going to arise. There's going to be shakings, desolations, false prophets. There's going to be all these things going on. And Paul is writing to them. Out of all of the books in the New Testament, there is, as you read it, there's a flavor all the way through. Paul is declaring to them the love of God, and especially the love of God that there was something in the church at Thessalonica that Paul just, he writes in there, and you'll read it in the thread and the very spirit in which this book is written. As you grow in God, you'll begin to sense the spirit of the thing in which it was written. You'll touch the heart by which and through which that letter was expressed. And Paul is writing to them that they're to be established in what? The love of God. Because they were getting false epistles written to them, saying the resurrection's already happened. You dudes missed it. Too bad. And so Paul is, he's settling them down in the spirit. And he's calling them to the former things. And he's saying, hey, don't you remember when we were with you that we told you the things that were going to characterize the day of the Lord? And here, and so he's settling them. And God wants to produce that ability in you to settle, to confirm and to strengthen and to correct and to reprove and all those nice words that people don't like. But what's the heart behind it all? To the intent you may be established in the power and the wisdom and the glory of God. So, there is in 2 Thessalonians, so 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Ooh, I like that. That makes him personal, doesn't it? And God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given to us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So a faith without works, what happens? It can't be established. That you would be established in the works of God. So what did we talk about? Faith without works? How can you be established in a faith that doesn't produce works? It takes a doing of the will of God, for you to be established in the will of God. So Paul declares, he goes, I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded. Why? Because he says, I've done the will of God. I've finished my course. He's talking there. He's pouring out his heart to the church saying, I am fully persuaded. For I know in whom I have believed, and I am fully persuaded that he is able to keep me. And he goes on to say, I've finished my course. I have fulfilled my call. Henceforth is laid up for me the crown of life. Don't you want that at the end of your journey? To be able to say, I know in whom I have believed. There's martyrs all over the world that are declaring that. Even as we speak right now, there's people giving their lives in the full assurance of faith that they're standing and finishing their course in the glory and the power of God. That's where we want to be. And that's why we minister unto one another while we still have relative peace and safety today. To the end, Paul says, you may be established. So I'm just going to finish up with a couple of Proverbs. And let's go to Proverbs 16, chapter 3. And it's one of my favorite verses, actually. So, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3, I'm going to marry that with a verse that nobody wants to touch in the New Testament. John says, whosoever abides in Jesus does not sin. Is that true? Of course it's true. How do we grow into that life of ever abiding, ever living, always being in the Spirit of God, where the very thoughts of our heart, the very attitudes in our heart are so under the dominion of Christ that we are free from the stain of sin? The church today tells you that's impossible. That's not what God says. And what do we... One of our hallmarks, let God be true and every man a liar. Let every man's experience be a liar compared to the Word of God. So how do we grow into this place of abiding and living within the power and unction of the Holy Spirit in God? Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. We live in a day where pornography is just corrupting the hearts and minds of people in the church and out of the church. It's a invisible flood that wreaks havoc within our spirits and within our minds. And so, commit thy works unto the Lord. Well, if you don't look at those things, they don't enter your mind. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and he will establish your thoughts. And so God is seeking to bring you and I. Jesus said, I mean, listen to this thing. We talk about answered prayers and unanswered prayers. Jesus said, my Father always hears me because I do the things that please him. See, we gotta begin to tie our walk with our talk. We gotta begin to tie the inner sanctuary of our heart with the things that we occupy ourselves with. And that's growth and development. None of this happens overnight. But Paul says, I have learned in all things to be content. Well, that doesn't happen overnight. Paul said, I learned that. And you and I are all in the individual school of the Spirit. He's breaking bread to you that I don't get. He's breaking bread and he's beginning to draw you into the works of his faith in you that I don't get. Why? Because it's going to take the full... It's going to take everything you and I have to fully reveal Christ in all of his ways. It took the 12 apostles to lay the foundations of the city. No ministry is sufficient in itself. But we are of one spirit. We are, though different in our ministrations, we are of one spirit because we, by one spirit, we have been baptized into one body. And allow God to percolate allow his word to begin to lead you into your own dynamic in him. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And so let God establish you in your ways and your doings and your thoughts, and you will stand in the most turbulent time that this world has ever seen. God is seeking to establish you in his ways for his glory and his honor.